We're doing in Yaakov. We're in Gemara Shabbos, the 16th chapter, called Perek Kol Kitvei, page Kuf Yutet, 119. Amar le'Reish Galut el Rav Amnuna. Sorry. The head of the Jews in exile. We had two heads. We had the Nasi in Israel. The prince, and his equivalent in Babylon, was called the Reish Galuta, the one in charge of the exile, the Jews in exile. So the Reish Galuta was sometimes more learned, sometimes less learned. He was like the governor. So the Reish Galuta said to Rav Amnuna, "My dichtiv, what does the verse mean? In the end of the Navi Yeshaya, it says, V'likdosh Hashem mechubat. The verse is talking about Shabbos. Im tashiv mi Shabbat raglecha. If you'll be careful on Shabbat to restrain your footsteps. Asot chafatzecha biyom kochi. Don't be busy with your own desires on my holy day, Hashem. V'chibato me'asot rechecha mimtzo chefzecha v'daber davar. Az titanag Hashem. Oh, so what's the beginning of the pasuk? V'ektosh Hashem mechubad. I forgot the beginning of the pasuk. One second. No, that's not the no, I was confusing two psukim. I don't remember the beginning of the pasuk. Maybe it'll come back to me. I hope it will. So he asked him this pasuk that says that v'karata l'shabbat oneg. That's the beginning of the pasuk. V'likdosh Hashem mechubat. It is in that context. It says, declare the Shabbos a day of pleasure, and the holy day of Hashem should be a day of honor. V'karata l'Shabbat oneg, declare the Shabbat a day of pleasure. So we have a mitzvah, they have good food on Shabbos, we have a mitzvah, couples should take time to be intimate. There are ways that a person is supposed to make Shabbos pleasurable. We start prayer later, we sleep a little bit later. But then the pasuk says, "V'likdosh Hashem mechubad, make the holy day of Hashem a day of honor." What does that mean? That's what he asked him. Amalei, he answered him, "Ze Yom Kippurim." You're right that the end of the pasuk is talking about a different Shabbos. It's talking about Yom Kippur. She'en bo lo achila ve'lo shtiya. On Yom Kippur, you can't have the pleasures of Shabbos. You're not going to eat. You're not going to drink. So the way to make Shabbos a pleasurable day is not relevant on Yom Kippur. Amirat Torah, so the Torah said, make this holy day of Hashem mechubad. Honor it. How? Bichsut nekiyah. Wear clean clothing. So in honor of Yom Kippur, a person should have clean clothing. Ashkenazim have the custom that married men wear a white robe. We wear what's called a kittel. V'chibato, the pasuk says, honor the day. So that's talking about Shabbos. Rav amar lakdim, make your meal earlier. Ordinarily, you eat your dinner at 7, 8, 9, whenever you eat it. Try to make it earlier in honor of Shabbos. So in the winter, that's easy for us, right? In the summer, it's a little more difficult. V'shmuel amar la'acher. Shmuel says, make your meal a little later than you usually do. So that's an honor of Shabbos, that you have anticipation for the Shabbos meal. That's the honor of Shabbos. Amru lebnei Rav Papa Baraba le Rav Papa. The descendants of Rav Papa Baraba said to Rav Papa, Kegonanan. They asked him, you know, we, Deshkech Lan Bisra V'chamra Kol Yoma, we're an affluent family, and we have meat and wine every day of the week. B'mai Neshanye. How do we make Shabbos special? Okay. People have problems in this world, right? Amar Lehu. So, Rav Papa answered them, Iragiltu Lakdume Achua. If you ordinarily eat your dinner early, eat it later in honor of Shabbos. Iragiltu Lachure. If you ordinarily eat your dinner later, Akdumua. So eat earlier. Make a change in your schedule. If you can't make a change in the dishes, because you have these delicious dishes all week long, So at least make a change in the schedule. And here it's saying, the Gemara seems to be saying that both answers are acceptable. That you have to see what works with your schedule.
Question.
Yes.
Why wouldn't he say to just make your meals in the week a little less extravagant?
You see, you didn't think they had to do that.
Or make it extra extravagant on Shabbos.
Rashi learns that we're talking about breakfast. Now, some people really eat their breakfast earlier on Shabbos. Some people eat their breakfast later on Shabbos. Some people, you know, in Chutz Lartz, many communities don't eat their meal until 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, until they eat their morning meal. And in Israel, you have people who daven at 5, 6, they eat their morning meal at 6:30, 7, much earlier than they're accustomed to all week long. Okay, so whatever meal it is, changing your schedule. So you asked, why didn't he just tell them to make the Shabbos meal even more lavish? Perhaps that's not possible. Perhaps, you know, adding rosemary leaves to their meat wouldn't make it more delicious, because if it would, they would have done it all week.
Well, just to restrain a little bit during the week. So.
You see, he didn't tell them to do that.
You see, invite more guests, to honor guests. To really honor.
That's a nice idea. Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat was one of the great rabbis of Talmud who could not see. And when he ate, he didn't see. Bekaita, when it was summer, so he didn't know exactly where the sun was holding in the sky as he was giving his speech. Motiv lu l'rabanan hechademat yashimsha. He'd sit the rabbis where he knew that when meal time came, the sun would be beating down over there, and then they'd be in a rush to get up and leave for their meal. So he'd have an indication if he'd hear shuffling that this guy's slipping out, that guy's, he knew it was meal time, he'd end his class. Besitva, when it was winter, he sat the rabbis where he knew that when meal time came, it would get shady and they'd get cold and they'd want to shift and find a more comfortable place. He wanted them to get up and leave quickly to go and have their meals. So Rav Sheshet, even though he couldn't see, he wanted to set things up in a way that the students would have their own natural impetus to leave on time, and he'd know when to end his speech. That's one of the hard things for rabbis, knowing when to end their speech. Because people want to be polite and give you the feeling that they're interested, and you know that what you're teaching them can make their lives much better. So there's always that challenge. Maybe I'll give them one more thing. Rabbi Zeira. Mehader Azuze Zuze. When he saw the pairs of Rabbanan, he'd see the pairs of Rabbanan that were talking Torah. He'd come after them and tell them, "Bematuta minaychu, I beg you, lo techalelune, don't desecrate Shabbos. Don't desecrate Shabbos. You guys are talking and you're learning as though it were a weekday. Why didn't you go have a good piece of cake? Why didn't you go have a good cup of tea? It's Shabbos. You're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. If your Shabbos is like your weekday, that you're learning just like you do on the weekday, then you're desecrating Shabbos." So Rabbi Zera would go after his students, and when he'd see them in pairs talking and learning as though it were a weekday, he'd say, "Please, I beg you, don't desecrate Shabbos. Go enjoy the day." Wow. Wow. So a person has to alter their learning on Shabbos as well. You don't want a situation where Shabbos is just like the weekday in your learning. We have a quote from Rava, others quote it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Even if you're davening alone on Friday night, you should make sure to say Vayechulu. What are we saying? Vayechulu Hashamayim Vaaretz Echol Tzivam. The creation of the heaven and earth and everything that's in between was complete. Why is that so important? When any person who prays on Friday night and says "Vayichulu," maale alav akatuv kilu nasa shutaf laKadosh Baruch Hu maasev reshit. So then the verse considers it as though he's partnered with Hashem in the act of creation. Shneimar, as the verse says, "Vayichulu Hashemayim vaaretz." Al tikri vayichulu ela vayichalu. Don't read it as that there's missing that vav that forces it to be read as vayichulu. That vav is missing. So you could read it as vayichalu. They finished. Who's the they? The one who reads the declaration that Hashem completed creation and Hashem. So I think the concept here is a simple one. Hashem created a world. But how do we view that world? Do we see Hashem in it or not? When a person comes to Friday night and he says, Hashem finished creation on this night, I also don't do tasks to commemorate that Hashem created the world, so I partner with Hashem because this is the component of creation that I have an impact on. Right? Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. God left in our hands the choice of whether we would recognize Hashem or not, what we call yirat shamayim. When a person says vayichulu, what he's saying is Hashem completed creation of this world in 6 days. And that declaration, that recognition that I have to live up to what Hashem wants of me, He's the creator of the world. Now I've partnered with Hashem. Because Hashem says, that's the part of creation that's left up to you. I can't create trees. I can plant seeds. But there's much of Hashem's doing in a seed growing into a tree. I don't control much of what's going on there for a seed to turn into a tree. I do very little. I put that seed in the ground. Maybe I water it. Everything else is Hashem's doing. We call it nature. But what do I have complete control on? I have control on my Yirat Shamayim. Will I recognize Hashem in this world? Will I make His presence felt? So that, Vayichalu, when we say Vayichulu, that declaration of Hashem is King, I become partner with Hashem. I do what I can in creation. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, minayin shadibur kemaseh. How do we know that speech is like action? Shneimar bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu. The verse says, with Hashem's utterance, the heavens were created. So it's telling us that speech carries a weight. Yes?
Why do people come at the end of Ma'arif of Shabbat to say Vayichulu if they didn't manage to say together with Shul?
Let's wait. We'll get there. I don't know if we'll get there today, but we'll get there. So, the idea of saying it with someone else is that it's like testimony. So we pair up and we say, Hashem created the world in 6 days. That's the idea in a nutshell. You need two witnesses to say testimony, so we prefer to pair up. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Marukva. We have the quote from Rav Chisda in the name of Marukva. Kol mitpalel v'erev Shabbat v'omer vayichulu. Anyone who prays on Friday night and says vayichulu, shnei malachei asheret melavin lo la'adam. The two angels that accompany a human being daily, Menichin yedeyem al rosho, they place their hands on his head, v'omrim lo, and they say to him, v'sar avonecha v'chatatcha techupar, may all your transgressions be removed, and your mistakes be forgiven. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yossi in the name of Rabbi Yehuda says differently. Marukva said, when you say vayichulu, so these two angels come, and they give you this blessing. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, Shnei malachei asheret melavim lo la'adam b'erev Shabbat mibet hakneset lebeito. Two angels accompany a person home from shul. Echad tov ve'echad ra. A good angel and a bad angel. Ucheba lebeito, when a person comes home. Umatza ner daluk. He finds the light is lit. In their days it was the lamp. Veshuchan aruch. He finds the table set. Umitato mutzat, and his bed is made. So the house is in order. Malach Tov Omer, the good angel says, Yiratzon Shetel Shabbat Acheret Kach, may it be the will of above that there should be another week like this. Umalach Ra, Onei Amen Baal Kocho. And then the bad angel has to say Amen against his will. Vim Lav, and if that's not the way he finds the house. Malach Ra Omer, so then the bad angel says, Yehi Ratzon Shetei L'Shabbat Acheret Kach, may it be the will that there'll be another Shabbos like this. Umalach Tov Onei Amen Baal Kocho, and then the good angel has to say Amen against his better judgment. So a person comes home from shul, he has these angels. So my children learn this in Gan. And the week that they learn it, I come home and they're looking. Abba, where are your angels? So, what's going on here? What's going on here? We have angels that accompany us. And the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit says that when everyone's suffering, when there's a difficult time for the Jewish people, if a person says, even though I'm not suffering personally, but I will care. I will show my care for my brethren. And so a person partakes of the suffering of the masses. He doesn't just go home and say, I can do whatever I want. What difference does it make? How does it affect me? My life's good. No, he says, the Jewish people are in need, and I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to care about it, and I'm not going to ignore it. And it's going to be a part of my concern and my prayer and my behavior. So then the two angels that accompany a person, the Gemara says, they put their hands on his head and they give him a blessing. And they say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, partook of the suffering of the masses. May he merit to see when the suffering is over and the masses are again happy. And if a person says, my life's good, so he goes home and he has a good time ignoring the suffering of his brethren. So then the Midrash says, the Gemara says, the two angels that accompany a person, they put their hands on his head and they say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he did not partake of the suffering of the masses. May he not merit to live to see that the suffering is over and the masses are once again happy. The Gemara says that when people would go to the restroom, they would say to their angels that are accompanying them, they would say, honorable angels, I'm sorry, don't go away. I got to go do what us humans have to go do. Hitkabdu mechubadim, honorable ones, out of honor for you, I have to leave. So today, we don't go talking to our angels. We don't address them, but Chazal say that we should know that they exist. Gemara says, Adam itle mazla. Gemara in Masechet Baba Kama says that a human being has mazal. One opinion in Rashi is, there's an angel watching over you. Hashem created a spiritual being called an angel, or sometimes two angels as we see here, whose job it is to keep an eye on us. Now that's a very important concept. I'm not alone in this world. It's not only the Ribbono Shalom who keeps an eye on the whole world, but for me, the Ribbono Shalom created angels. And they're here. And my behavior is observed. And they will bless me or otherwise, depending on what I do. But they're not the same angels always. Yaakov Avinu was leaving Israel, and he dreams. He sees angels going up and angels going down. What angels were those? When he's in Israel, he has a different set of angels that accompany him. He's going to Chutz Laaretz, the angels of Israel don't come with him. He needs new angels, he needs different angels. It's not the same Hashkacha Pratit. When a person comes to Israel, then the Ribon Shel Olam accompanies him on a totally different level. The heavenly intervention and observation of a human being for his own benefit is on a much higher level. And even a big tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu, when he goes to sleep on his way out of Israel, he sees how the angels are leaving. And Chutz Laaretz, he's not going to have the same heavenly intervention as he had in Israel. And when he comes back at the end of Parshat Vayetze, he's on his way back to Israel, so it says he saw angels approaching him. And he named the place Machanayim, the meeting of two camps. What are the two camps? The angels of Chutz Laaretz are going to leave, and the angels of Israel are already there to greet him. He's not alone. There was a big rabbi in the United States named Rav Henkin. And before Rav Moshe Feinstein became famous as the big halachic authority in the United States, Rav Henkin was revered as the big halachic authority. When Rav Moshe became his neighbor, they lived in the same neighborhood, and Rav Moshe Feinstein became more famous and more accepted, so people started flocking to Rav Moshe, and people didn't realize what a giant of Torah lived just around the corner in the Lower East Side named Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, when he became old, would have a minyan in his home. He couldn't go out to shul, so Friday night, people would gather at his house to make a minyan for him. At the end of davening, when he'd wish everyone a good Shabbos and thank them for coming and helping him by making a minyan in his home, he would often tell the people who came, when you go home tonight, you know there are angels that are accompanying you. When you say, Shalom Aleichem, you're welcoming those angels. Those are the angels of Shabbos. When you say, Tzeitchem de Shalom, you're not talking to those same angels. Just like when a person's living in Israel, so when he comes here, the angels of Israel greet him, and then the angels of Chutz Laaretz leave. By the same token, when you come home from shul, so you're coming with the angels of Shabbos, and to them you're saying Shalom Aleichem. And at the end, you're telling the angels of the weekday, Tzeitchem de Shalom. See you guys Matzei Shabbos. There's a special Hashgacha on Shabbos that's different than the rest of the week. So I'm going to recap what we discussed today. We began with the story of the Reish Galusa who asked Rav Amnuna, what is Kadosh Hashem Mechubad? He told him, honor Yom Kippur with clean clothing. Then we had the children of Rav Papa Baraba who said, we have so much meat and wine all week long, how do we make our Shabbos meal better? So Rav Papa told them, either go like Rav or like Shmuel, make your meal earlier or later. That's a way of making your Shabbos meal special. Rav Sheshet wanted to make sure that his students would go home in time for the meal. So in the summer, he sat them in a place where the sun would come beating down on them when it was meal time, and then they'd shift and he'd know to end his class. In the winter, he sat them down in a place where during meal time it would get especially cold, and that way he'd also know it was time to end the class. Rabbi Zeira would run after the pairs of rabbis who were learning on Shabbos and say, don't desecrate Shabbos! Don't continue learning like you do on weekdays. Make sure your Shabbos is special. Rav Amnuna taught us that we have to say Vayechulu, and then we become a partner with Hashem in creation. And then Rabbi Eliezer taught us that speech should be given weight like action. Very often a person says, I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You said something. You did something. That's why the Torah says Hashem created the heavens with His utterance. And then we had the quote from Marukva that when a person prays on Erev Shabbos, when he says Vayechulu, then two angels accompany him. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said, there's a good angel and a bad angel. It depends on what he finds at home. Either he gets a blessing about the future week or the opposite. And then we discussed the Gemara and Tanis about the two angels when it's time that the congregation is suffering. And we discussed the Gemara and Brachos about the angels when a person goes into a restroom. And we discussed the Gemara and Baba Kama that a person has angels that are with him, and that means there's more heavenly intervention. And then we discussed the Medrash in Vayetze that the angels Yaakov Avinu saw going up were the angels of Israel, and the angels coming down were the angels of Chutz La'aretz, and vice versa at the end of the parasha. And finally, the story of Rav Enkin about Shalom Aleichem and Tzeischem L'Shalom.